I went straight in the dressing room, and there was a big fridge of beer. Started drinking beer, you know, because I'd done nothing wrong. Crazy. He was like, he's crazier than cheese. He used to wear his collars up. So I turned him down a couple of times, and he called me a fat.
Do you believe there were better players back then?
The players today couldn't have played in my day. I was killing myself, you know, and I didn't want to hear it from him. So what we're going to do, we're going to stop your heart, restart your heart. If your heart don't restart after seven times, you're a goner.
Hello, welcome to the Jeff Stelling Show with OLBG. Now, my guest today played at the very highest level of the game with the likes of Liverpool and Spurs and West Ham. He played for his country. He was thought of as a hard man, a tough guy in his playing days, and he's needed that resilience at times in his life after the game as well. Welcome to Neil Razor Ruddock.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hello, mate.
It's nice seeing you.
You too. Where did Razor come from?
Razor come from late 80s, Frank Bruno fought Joe Bugner boxing at White Hart Lane. I was a young lad at White Hart Lane. We all went to the fight, and in the programme was a picture of Razor Ruddock, the big black Canadian boxer. So everyone started calling me.
Right.
So it was a great nickname. I'm happy with that nickname. Happy with that nickname.
It suited you, didn't it?
Oh, it did. I don't think they'll be calling him Neil in Canada, you know what I mean? So, but I think every sort of, when I was at Southampton, Schuster, I grew up as Jacko. And my family and my close mates call me Jacko, and everywhere everyone else calls me Razor. My wife still calls me Razor because I met her when I was called Razor. So it stuck about 87, I think, 87, 88.
Do you think, when you look back at your career, do you think that people maybe now, because you're seen as such a character, you know, do you think that people forget what a good player you were? That you could, you know, you could tackle it, you could pass the ball, and you could strike a ball?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think I was like 17th hardest footballer, but I'd rather be 17th best footballer, you know. But you don't play for the teams like Tottenham, Southampton, West Ham, Liverpool. I've captained all the teams, and, you know, I was captain of me, England B, captain under 21s, you know, played for full international. So, you know, but I got myself in trouble. I was protecting a young lad called Alan Shearer, got sent off for protecting him, and, you know, ever since then it's you know, the hard man image just took over. But, you know, it's got me where I am today. It's got me in TV. You know, it's got me in the after dinner circuit. It's got me on your podcast. So, you know, it doesn't really affect me. But I was a better player than an hard man. That was for sure.
Was that Shearer against Notts County?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, you ran about 50 yards.
Yeah. Put one on Craig Short, and then I ran away and knocked the referee over.
could he not stick up for himself?
Well, he was only about 17, 18 then, you know, and Craig Short stamped on him, and so that was the end of that. You know, I promised his dad I'd look after him.
So you've got a picture of you in your England kit there.
That's
so,
England B, that's captain.
Oh, is that England B?
That's at Anfield, England B.
Oh, right, okay. But only one full England cap.
Yeah.
Do you think that was down to your sort of reputation as getting into trouble and things like that?
Yeah, most probably drinking. But I think, you know, if you look at it, you had Tony Adams, Des Walker, Palliser, you know, better players than me, so, you know. But I represented, I played at Wembley for my country. So I played up sort of every level from youth all the way through, so.
Have you still got your England cap?
Don't know where it is. My dad had it, and, you know, we lost my dad 12 years ago, so I don't know where it is. But I've heard you get another one. Every player who's played for England, you get a number and a new cap. Yeah, so I'm 507 or something, so I'm expecting a cap come through the door.
So, I mean, for people who don't remember, for a short while, about a week, I think it was, but you were the world's most expensive defender.
For a day.
Was it a day?
I thought
it was a week.
I don't think it was that long. A couple of days. I signed for Liverpool, 2.5 million, which is the dearest defender in the world. And I think Desi Walker went to Sheffield Wednesday with 3.8. And the thing that hurts me is Des is a good friend of mine, and he always reminds me. But to be fair, Des Walker's only £1.3 million better than me. Not a lot of people could say that.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned there were some great defenders in your days. You came up against great players as well. And I was reading sort of, you know, some of your clashes with Cantona, for instance. Yeah. You enjoyed playing against him?
I'd done all right against him, yeah. You know, it was because the rivalry, it's not only Cantona, right? The rivalry was Liverpool v Manchester United,
yeah,
you know. It's only 30 miles away. It's a massive, massive game, that one. So I just thought, I can wind him up. I just thought, I'll turn his collars down. He used to wear his collars up, so I turned him down a couple of times, and he called me a fat. And he said he wanted me to fight me in the tunnel. So I'm rearing up, and Robbie Fowler scores. I kept turning them down, and Robbie Fowler scores with two up, and they get one back, and and then Fergie time, about half hour into Fergie time, we kicked off at 3 o'clock, we're playing at half seven at night, Fergie time, they get a penalty in there, and Cantona scored a penalty, and it was the only kick he had, so I'd done very well, because I just put him off his game, and he just wanted to fight me. I think it was in one of Ferguson's books, Sir Alex Ferguson's book, I was the one that he used to wind him up more than any others. But it was, just trying to put him off. You played against Di Canio, just try and get in his head and wind him up. And he didn't want to play football. Duncan Ferguson, don't say a word. Do you know what I mean? You pick your fights, don't you? You pick your enemies and you pick your wars on a football pitch, and Cantona was just to try and wind him up.
Yeah. God, can I just imagine you against Duncan Ferguson,
I kicked man. His first game. I kicked him into our half, into their half. Worst thing I'd done. It was, a few bumps and bruises along the way after that. But off the pitch, we used to get on right. Me and Duncan, we used to live in the same village in Formby. So it was a bit of a town, really. Bigger than a village, Formby Village, they called it. It was getting bigger and bigger because the more footballers were moving there. But we used to get on right after the game.
Go back to Cantona. The FA Cup final, what year was it? 1996.
Yeah.
The one against Manchester United you didn't play in. You say you would have won that cup final if you'd have played.
I would have won. I definitely was, because I used to do well against him. I'd have wound him up, and he scored the last minute winner. I wasn't dropped, Jeff. I was rested. Right? I was rested.
For the cup final?
Yeah, because it was a big season coming up.
Right. Okay.
No, I was, definitely, the hardest thing for me to that, was... Well, the manager said he'll name the team on the Thursday. He didn't name the team, and I played in quarterfinal, semi final, last six games of the season. So he said name the team Thursday. Didn't name the team, so everybody just thought it was going to be the same team. Then on a Friday, he just said, "I don't know how to say this," and I walked away. I was in tears. And I had to ring my dad. That was the thing. That was the worst thing. After my dad's got all his mates, his tickets, and so excited and. I had to ring my dad to say I wasn't playing. So that was the toughest thing I've ever had to do. People can shout at me. 100,000 people can have a go at me. But to ring your dad and say you're not playing in the cup final was... Because the cup final was the one, Jeff. We grew up with similar age and we grew up to, that with where that was the only game live on telly. It was on BBC One and ITV. That was the big, You should watch the build-up from 9 o'clock and to play in the FA Cup at the old Wembley as well. Playing FA Cup final, wow, it was the greatest achievement anyone could do, especially in front of your dad. And, that broke my heart. Dad's.
Yeah. How long did it take you to get over that then?
Well, that's when I went straight in the dressing room, and there was a big fridge of beer, and I just started drinking beer, because I'd done nothing wrong. And that I think, looking back, I did drink, after that I did drink too much, and, in my health, and I started getting a lot of injuries, but... Looking back, I think that was the sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, the sort of fuse, that's when the fuse went and started drinking a lot because in my head, I'd done everything right. I trained well, my weight was spot on. As I say, quarterfinal, semi-final, played the last six games. And for me, I couldn't understand why I'd done everything right that I was dropped for the biggest game of my life.
What was like life at Liverpool then?
Because, tremendous.
Sort of Spice Boys days, wasn't it?
Well, I fell out with Fed Balls. I was at Tottenham and, Venice signed me from Southampton. A three-year contract, and he said, after 1 year, if you improve your discipline, I'll double your wages. He said, I don't want to give you too much money because you're a little, Southampton put me in the transfer list for fighting. So he said, if you improve, I'll double your wages. And Sir Alan sacked Terry. Then Sir Alan wouldn't buy it. He wouldn't, the gentleman's agreement. He wouldn't agree with that. And I had an argument with him. He put me on the transfer list. And then I had Brian Clough Forest, Keegan Newcastle, Hoddle Chelsea. I had Walt Smith Rangers, Kenny Dalglish Blackburn, and Graham Souness Liverpool. And I promised I'd speak to everybody. Met Kenny on the Monday, Royal Lancaster Hotel. Offered me whatever it was, and then Tuesday I went to Anfield. Graham Souness met me at the reception at Anfield, walked me into the middle of the pitch. He went, could you imagine playing here? I went, yeah, what else? Do you know what I mean? Because I used to remember playing at Anfield for the other team. It was horrible. You used to just run around, like headless chickens. And, and I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and if Liverpool want you, you sign for Liverpool. So I could, you know, to play there in front of the old cop, the standing cop as well, for them to run out, for them to sing your name. I was a hero then there, and, you know, for them to sing your name and sing You Never Walk Alone, I mean, it was amazing. It's still going me goosebumps on the back of my neck now. And everywhere Liverpool goes, an FA Cup final for the other team, it's packed. And, you know, everywhere. I knew, when people say, when did you know you made it? First time I could afford it, when something Liverpool started earning the big bucks. And I took my family. Eventually we got to Disney World in America and Orlando. And, you know, it was the first sort of outlet centre I've ever been to, outlet shopping centre. To walk around the corner, there was a big Adidas shop there. And there was a picture of me. Must, you know, the big poster must be 50 yards wide, 100 yards on the side of the building. It was me in the Liverpool kit with Adidas. And I thought, that's it. That's when I made it.
Yeah.
Carlsberg. That's when I made it. Yeah. That one there.
There you go. That's it. That's you in the Liverpool.
That's a big picture I see, and I thought, I've made it.
Brilliant.
So that's the power of Liverpool.
Yeah. And you did win a trophy at Liverpool.
Yeah, well, there was no Champions League back then. So we were UEFA Cup, playing some great competitions, and we won the League Cup, and we should have won the league 1 year. We about four games ago, we lost a silly, I can't remember who we lost to, but we lost a silly game. You know, so we should have won the league, should have won the FA Cup if I'd have played. Should have won the UEFA Cup, got beat in a semi-final, won the League Cup. But football's tougher then.
Yeah.
Better players back then, Jeff. VAR. You had to get on with it.
I know you say that. Do you believe that? Do you believe there were better players back then?
Well, I think there was tougher players. I think with the pitches, I think everyone had to have a good touch. The pitches weren't so good now. You know, I think we was fit as we could have been, you know, with the dietitians and the fitness coaches. You know, we didn't have none of that. We used to, you know, it was crazy. If I was a pound overweight, I'd they'd make me wear a black sack under my training kit and get weighed after training. I'd be 2 pounds underweight and I'd feel all right, but then I'd drink 3 pounds of water. So it did, you know, so actually the education and the science of football wasn't about. So they are a lot fitter nowadays because of, you know, the technology.
How long do you think you'd have lasted in a game today?
I'd been all right. I didn't have to kick people unless they wanted me to kick them.
Yeah. No, that's what I say. You know, I remember how well you could pass a football.
You'd be all right now. I'd be fitter. And, you know, you don't have to run around a lot now, do you? Just all sit back. Yeah. You know, they get the ball, you sit back. We get the ball, they sit back. So I could play a goal for Man City, that's for sure. So you don't have to make a lot of saves, and I'm good with my feet.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, you never know. Could George best play in my day? You know, it's all the arguments, so. No, the players today couldn't have played in my day. That's for sure. I might not be out playing their day. Like, what's he done? Costa, Diego Costa. People, I was at a Chelsea supporters club doing a deal, and they said, you know, Diego Costa, you couldn't play in today's game. I said, well, Diego Costa wouldn't be out playing my game. Because I've had at least twice to wind him up and kick him. Because my day, you could kick someone, and the referee would go, right, that's your first one. Next time you're in the book. Yeah. That was football, wasn't it? Now they're getting sent off for that. So you don't know.
Do you think that football's lost something because of that?
I can't remember last time I watched 90 minutes of football on the. I go and watch Millwall. That's my local team, but I can't remember last time I watched 90 minutes of football. It just winds me up. Stop start, slow, VAR. You know, referees not make decisions because they've always got to know that if they make a mistake, it's going to get pulled up. I just think it's ruining games. I think referees and linesmen were doing okay. You know, we still moaned at them, but that was part of football, wasn't it? That was, you know, that was a talking part when they used to go down, all the fans used to go to the pub after, said it was offside, how it works, he didn't give it. You know, that was the end of that.
Do you think we'll ever see the day when it comes sort of full circle and they get rid of it?
I hope so, mate, you know, because people now, you know, especially, you know, you're coming in, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, now, I suppose they can't remember life before VAR. You know, I think it was... It was better football, it was better spectacle, and it was better for fans. I'm not, you know, I understand some people like it because they get decisions spot on, but I think it's still opinions when it goes to VAR. It's not actual fact, is it? Goal line technology, yeah. Offsides, I still think it's opinions, you know, because they don't really know when the ball is actually struck, when the ball is actually touched by the fellow who passes the ball. If it's like 10th of a second earlier or late, you're onside or offside by that much, aren't you? Yeah. So, or that much. So it's in. I still think it's not fact.
Yeah. I'm with you, mate. I can't have it at all. I think we were far better when referees and assistants say were.
Jeff, sorry to interrupt, but penalties, there was contact. Contact's not a foul. No. You know, I'm a bad defender. If I haven't got contact with my striker in the box, you're a bad defender. and they slow it down. You know, they should, with the technology, you should have the angle that the referee sees it and the pace, whatever pace the referee, whatever pace the game is, they should have a camera, technology, referee's view, what the referee saw at the pace the referee saw, yes or no. Because that is what the referee saw, and that's football. Yeah. You can't slow it down. You don't slow it down, you know, during a game. It's absolute shit.
Yeah. Oh, we see stills. And, you know, stills can show completely different things. Yeah, they show contact.
And not angles are different.
Yeah, yeah. I think...
And you know what winds me up? It still winds me up. There's still, you know, you can pull shirts. You can rugby tackle someone from corners.
Yeah.
They still let that go.
Yeah.
You know? Crazy.
So what do you think when you see corners these days and players are actually not looking at the ball?
They're not looking at the ball, just watching the player. How can your manager coach that? That's not coaching. It's lazy, sloppy, cheating, don't want to get hurt, defending. I just can't watch it anymore.
Yeah. I get the impression from this that you're pretty happy that you didn't go into coaching or management.
Would you trust me with your football club? No, but I started at Swindon with Roy Evans for a year, but I thought I'd miss the game, but you must have heard this numerous times, everyone you've interviewed and spoke to and ex-footballers, that you don't miss the game. You miss the dressing room, you miss the banter, you miss the lads, and you miss going up, going training, and having a laugh. And that you don't actually miss the game so much. People see the lifestyle and the money you earn, and they think, how can you not miss it? Because it is basically, it's mentally, physically it's tough. You know, it's one of the greatest jobs in the world. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. Physically and mentally, it's draining. You know, and you get to mid-30s, you're tired. You know, your body and everything hurts, and mentally and physically, you are tired, and you know you need to rest your body up.
Just before we crack on, let me tell you about something rather special. The good people at OLBG have put together some absolute belters for you to win. Head to olbgprizes.com/stelling. That's olbgprizes.com/stelling to take a look. We're talking things like unique sporting experiences and sports prizes that you won't find anywhere else. Money can't buy days out, proper collector's items, the lot. And we're giving you the chance to win it. So make sure you check it out, olbgprizes.com/stelling. We'll have all the details in the description to this episode, so go and have a look right now. 18 plus only, T's and C's apply. Free entry route is available. I mean, it's interesting, Reza. You know, you talk about... you know, missing that sort of camaraderie rather than the game itself. And you're right, a lot of ex-players. I mean, Mercer's a classic example.
Yep.
He used to say on Soccer Saturday that the reason it helped him was it was the nearest thing to being back in the dressing room because he had a team around him as well. And we all know about, you know, some of the things that happened here after you finished the game. I mean, was there a drinking culture at Liverpool at the time, was there?
Wow. Yeah, I think if you didn't drink, you never, you know, the 70s, 80s, you didn't drink, you never played for Liverpool. I think that was a massive, massive drinking culture. Never drunk 2 days before a game, you know, anyone can ever say that about me, that, you know, Thursday or Friday. At Liverpool, especially, you weren't even allowed Thursday or Friday. You wasn't allowed to even pick the kids up. You know, if you were seen at your house Thursday and Friday, it was a big fine. So it was very disciplined in that way. They wanted to, you know, just rest their legs. But I think, you know, when they let us go out, we went out and we enjoyed ourselves. So it was a big culture, massive culture. I think every time, I mean, look at the big Arsenal team, the Tony Adams, Merson, Parlour team, you know, they had a Tuesday club.
Tuesday night club, yeah.
Yeah, so they, you know, I think it was a big part of football at the time.
Do you think players were sort of pressured into being part of it?
Well, I think even if you didn't drink, you had to turn up, you know, show your face, have half a shandy or, you know, a Diet Coke. As long as you showed your face and got on with the banter, then you got away with it.
Did you find that worse once you'd finished then? Because obviously you didn't have that camera. Yeah, have your teammates.
I think, you know, that's when we drink really snowballed, because, you know, I couldn't wait to retire. When I retired, you know, so much golf you could play. And, you know, when the weather changed, you know, you couldn't play golf. You know, golf club's a great place to go and meet. As you say, the Merce says, you got people around you. So I just found pubs, you know, and, you know, it's a find. You know, I knew Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. My wife, we had horses. My ex-wife at the time, we had the horses. So she was out at the stables all the, you know, all day, every day, sort of sorting the horses out. So I had loads of time on me hands. And I used Monday, I knew what pub, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I knew what pub was going to be busy. you know, and they become my friends. You know, I had a few bobs. People used to love being around me because I used to buy their drinks all day. So yeah, that was just a, you know, I think looking back in further than that, Jeff, I grew up in, you know, South London in Kent. I always went to boys' school, so I always had lads around me. You know, we having a laugh. So you know, since I was 7, 8 to 35. You had lads and the banter and the laughs and the jokes, you know, and when it stopped, you had to get it back and then, you know, to find it in pubs.
Yeah. I mean, look, we all remember that scene in Harry's Heroes.
Yeah.
You know, with Merce, because he's a good mate of yours. Yeah, yeah. Your best mates. Yeah. And I think you threatened to throw him through the door.
He was ex-Arsenal player as well. People forget that. No, I mean, because I've known Merce, there's three people call me Neil. Merce, me mum and judges. They're the only three people call me Neil. He calls me Neil. And he calls me Neil to wind me up. But I love him for it. So, no, and he told me the truth, Jeff. You know, he told me the truth. I was killing myself, you know, and I didn't want to hear it from him, and so that's how I reacted. But I watch it now, and I feel really, really embarrassed what I've done. But I mean, I'm working with him tomorrow, so we see each other all the time. So I'm grateful because that show saved my life. We've done that show to sort of get what it is between, you know, 45, 50, you know, that sort of way. Go and get yourself checked out. You know, go and see the doctor. It costs you nothing to get yourself checked out. I mean, if you're driving down the road, Jeff, and your car makes a noise, you take the mechanic. And you have to pay money to get it fixed. If we're walking down the road and we feel a bit dizzy or out of breath or you have to sit down, we won't go and see the doctor because in case it's bad news and you can't go out. So that's the message. But it was me, you know, I could start feeling dizzy and faint and all of a sudden I couldn't walk. It just happened to be that week that I, you know, it happened. It hadn't happened before. I was okay. And then that week it just couldn't walk 100 yards, and next day I couldn't walk 50 yards, and I couldn't walk up 5 steps. I was feeling faint, thought I was going to be sick, and thought I was going to fall over, and they rushed me to hospital, and my heart was between 140 and 150 beats per minute at rest. That's just sort of, that's like marathon, when you're doing a marathon sort of pace. And so they rushed to us. Well, this is over sort of a 6 month period. I had all the tests done, and then had to, that stopped my heart. Restart my heart, which is it's a thing they do every day. But I had a German surgeon. I found a German with a good sense of humour. So he said, "Raise, what we're going to do? We're going to stop your heart, restart your heart. If your heart don't restart after 7 times, you're a goner." He said, "It's my first time I've done it." He said, "But he said you'd be okay. I've googled it." So, but it was third time. David Ginola actually. When he collapsed and he died on a football pitch, he was playing a charity game. David, years ago, and his heart started the 9th time. They tried 7 times, and after 7th time, they thought, no, it's, and it was the 9th time. So, that stopped, restart my heart, and then I had to have a pacemaker because my heart was stopping during the night. So, a pacemaker just keeps it regular heartbeat. Then I had to have the gastric sleeve to lose loads of weight to take the pressure off my heart. So this is all from that TV show and Paul Merson having a go at me from chucking him, wanted to chuck him through a door. I thank him every time I see him.
Yeah. It's easy because, you know, I mean, I tell you, I feel indestructible. So yeah. It's easy to feel, especially as a sportsman, you know.
Me, Jeff, you know, I'm always the loudest one in the room. I'm always the character in the room, the funniest in the room. So, you know, it's always, you know, it's never, ever going to happen to me because, you know, say I'm Razor, and the name Razor thinks you're indestructible and, you know, you're above anything else. But, so it happened to me. But I'm not one of them, Jeff, you know, don't preach, don't do what I've done. Go enjoy yourself. Just don't take it too far and don't die.
Yeah.
Simple answer, sorry.
No, I won't.
Simple solution.
Yeah, don't die is a pretty good recommendation, isn't it? Yeah, I'd stick with that one, yeah. So how's your life changed since then?
Well, it's great. Well, my wife's, you know, she was the one that sort of, you know, Merce put it into me, but my wife, Leanne, now, she was the one that, you know, made me go to doctors, made me go to experts, made me go to, you know, to hospital, you know, get everything done and sort of, so, you know, I've got to give her a special mention. Without her, you know, I definitely wouldn't be here. Merce gave me the kick up the backside I need, but my wife's the one that, you know, took it over the line and made me better. But, you know, I mean,
Best thing about my life right this minute, Jeff, I've only got 2 more weeks of school runs. My daughter's got my youngest daughter, Kizzy, she's 15. She's only got 2 weeks left. That school run, mate. 3 miles takes me an hour. It is a nightmare. So she was thinking about going to sixth form. I'm going, no, don't go. Go college. Sixth form. I'm about to do the school run again. But, so everything's good. Kids getting older and, yeah. Loads of dogs and wife and golf club around the King's North Golf Club. Give them a mention. My mate owns a golf club around the corner. So just bit of turkey with lads golfing, you know, so I can have a drink now. I can stop now. And I know we've had enough. And, you know, instead of going out since going out every day, I go out once a week and enjoy myself. And that's enough for me now. I'm old. Need to see. I'm 58 now.
It's not old, Reza.
But I know, looking at you, I feel really, really good and young. But no, you know, I've had my day, and you're lucky that, you know, they caught me in time. But, you know, I can give or take drink now.
Yeah.
Don't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, just think the next time you're sitting in that traffic on the school run, you know, you should be grateful that you're doing it.
I was in the pub.
Well, look, I mean, I've got a shot of you here. And look, I mean, there you go.
Well, I was 10 stone heavier there, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're half the man now. Yeah. Looking at the nick you're in now in comparison to
that. I know, big old lump there.
You look a lot younger now as well.
I'm beautiful, aren't they? Frankly,
I wouldn't go as far as that.
No, I didn't want to go on holiday because I know I'll have to walk through Gatwick. Do you know, I've seen silly things like that where you know, when you're obese and really overweight, you just don't want to walk anywhere. Yeah. So, I mean, my life's changed for the greater. That's for sure.
I mean, it's interesting, because now in the game, and it wasn't the case in your days, because, geez, everybody had a drink. It's not a problem, is it? Because nobody is allowed to drink.
I think, you know, it was always the older player, the influencer, wasn't he? The older player, we're out for a drink. So the older player said, we're out for a drink. You used to go out for a drink. You know, you're coming out for a drink, so you got a drink now. I mean, because that's filtered out the game, no one drinks. It's not an issue, you know. And you see them in restaurants with bottles of water and that, you know, even in the cup finals and they're drinking water. But good luck to them.
Look, we touched on a couple of hard men, didn't we? Duncan Ferguson from being one of them. It's interesting to see your list of the sort of hardest players that you played with or against. I think people would be surprised to find that Jimmy Case was number one.
Jimmy Case. The assassin, mate, yeah. He was obviously Liverpool legend. He was my captain at Southampton, Jimmy Case. You know, you ask Al, you ask Brazil, people like that era. No one messed with Jimmy. Magnificent footballer. Two European Cups and league titles and, you know, and FA Cups and, you know, but because we had the young Southampton team, so we sort of had, there was me, Letizia, Shearer, the Wallaces, Jason Dodd. Oh, Franny Benali, who could look after himself, by the way, but who else? Midfield players, Madison. So we had a lot of young lads, and if an old pro, because back then you used to get taught a lesson, the older pros, you used to play the older pros, you used to make sure you kicked the youngsters on the other team. So if any of us got kicked, then Jimmy would sort them out. Not many people mess with Jimmy Case.
I remember Letiz tells a story about. In one of his early days, he came up against Stuart Pearce, and Stuart had kicked him a couple of times early doors, and he said to Jimmy Case, you know, Jimmy. And Jimmy just looked at Stuart Pearce and said, not today, Tess, not today. You know? So, no, it was great. I mean, look, again, with so many characters in those days. It was absolutely fantastic.
It was great fun. You had a mixture. You know, I think a lot of teams had a mixture of old and young. So it was a great mixture back then.
Yeah.
Probably football. You had to grow up, you know. I looked at me, I think it was the England 18s or 19s. There was a team phone. I looked at it, and there was every one of them played for the first team. So we had Pressman in goal, played with Sheffield Wednesday. Left back was Inchcliffe, was playing for Everton or Wednesday. Was he back Wednesday? Back then, I can't remember. There was me, Stephen Redmond, Man City, Michael Thomas, playing for Arsenal. We had the Tizier, Ince, Batty, David White, played for Man City. So Tizier, Batty, Ince. Up front, we had Dalian Atkinson and David Hurst. At 18, 19, everyone played for their first team.
Yeah.
If you looked at the England 18, 19s now, you wouldn't know them.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't know them. So age wasn't a thing. You good enough to play for England, you played for your first team.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think the under-21s now, I'd know about an handful, if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
England under-21s, you're a seasoned pro by then. You know, you played 50 top-flight games.
Yeah.
If you was England under 21s in my day.
Yeah, I think, you know, in this day and age, if somebody puts like a 17, you know, I think the boy at Liverpool, Rio Amoha, put him in, everybody goes, wow, 17. Yeah. But it was common practice in those days, wasn't it?
She got hat-trick against his debut for Southampton against Arsenal. 17. Robbie Fowler scored five. We beat Robbie Fowler 17 or 17-18, just in the team. His debut at Anfield, we beat Fulham 5-0, he scored 5. Robbie Fowler.
Incredible.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who was the best striker then that you've played with or against?
Oh.
I mean, I'll tell you what. First, tell us about Shearer, first of all, because, you know, a lot of people don't remember. It seems crazy, but a lot of people don't remember him in his playing days now. They just see him as a TV pundit.
Well, Shearer did score a lot of goals at Southampton. You know, I think he was only getting about 7-8 a season. He only had 2 seasons there, and he got England scoring his debut, and he goes to Blackburn and Kenny in a different style of football, scores a bag full of goals. But he was a tough, hard-working, you know, he was a young lad at Southampton when I was there. But you knew he had him. You knew he had him. He was strong-minded, you know, Geordie voice. Shout. You could hear him shouting at you from 100 yards away. But you knew as a young age he was going to be a proper footballer.
What about Robbie Fowler then? He's one of my favourite players. So.
Wow, God, yeah, mate. Different type of player. At Liverpool, you know, the first club I've ever been to that sort of done this, you know, Robbie was the first when he was like 15, 16. When he had school holidays, he could train the first team. He trained with us.
Wow.
You know, to give him that experience and just make it half, give him a little dig and make it half for him. And, you know, so he was him that started training with us. And when he was 17, 18, he weren't shy. He weren't, you know, great sort of thing to do, you think about it. And Liverpool been doing that for years. You know, Ian Rush was playing the reserves for 2 years before he even got a chance to play in the first team, but he'd been training with the first team. So they've been doing it for years. And then Michael was the next one, 15-year-old, come train with us. Then it was Gerrard, and then it was Carragher, train with us. And then Gerrard, 15-year-old, Gerrard, Squalas, is he train with us? You know, so 2 years training with the first team, they were ready. So, I mean, it's a simple idea, but it's so effective. You know, it's a crazy thing.
None of them did too badly,
no,
did they?
No, they did too bad. Yeah. But, you know, it must have been a couple that didn't, but they were the main ones that, you know, stood up for me. But Fowler, he was at Mouthy Little, lad from Tocky, Scouts lad from Tocky. What a footballer. Brave, mouthy, two-footed. I love playing with him. We like to play against him. Mm. I think one of the best quotes is that sort of quote. I think Sir Alex Ferguson said that about Letiz, didn't he? He wouldn't get in my team, but I don't want him in the team I'm playing against. That's Robbie Fowler.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so he was special, you know. I just think he was unlucky with England, Jeff, that I think he'd done his ankle, knee and hip down one side. I don't know, 3 years. He had 3 injuries. I think he missed, you know, he missed definitely 2 pre-seasons. May have been 3, I can't really remember. But he missed 2. And as a striker, you can't miss a pre-season because you need that little 2 yards. Do you know what I mean? Defender, midfield players, you can miss a pre-season. You'll catch up because you're a bit more of a plodder. You need to have, you know, certain sort of fitness, elite fitness, obviously, to play top flight. But I think a striker, if you miss 2 or 3 pre-season, you're always playing catch-up and, you know, you can't get it because you need that extra yard. And I think that was his sort of downfall. Way he should have played more for England, and you know, should have stayed for Liverpool for his career. So they re-signed him, didn't they? He went off to City. Went to City, I think.
I know you're not over enamoured with today's football, if you like, but we're talking about Shearer and Robbie Fowler. So what's your view? I mean, of the man that always seems to carry England's hopes, Harry Kane.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. I love him. He played for Millwall. Was on loan at Millwall. Just got to keep fit, mate. We all had our hopes last, you know. I think he had it last time. He had a bad back, did he? I just hope he's okay. I mean, the word is he's okay, but we don't know. But, you know, still a lot of training, a lot of heat. And I think, you know, in that heat, even training, you know, you can pull up. Just let's get him through. But he's different class. 60-odd goals. Bayern Munich. Wow. Loads of him in Europe as well. But, I'm happy that he's had loads of games in Europe. You know, because that's tough. You know, PSG,
You know, was it 5-4, was it, the other day? You know, he's playing against top defenders, and he's looking big and strong, you know. People say it's only Bayern Munich, you know, Bundesliga, but there's some good teams. But he's looking great in Europe as well, which is, for me, that's a great sign. Cause that's what I look at, you know, in players that are playing abroad, what they look like in Europe. And in Europe, he looks big, tough, strong, goal scorer. You know, that's got to be great for us going into a World Cup.
Has it surprised you a bit that, you know, a kid who's gone on loan to Millwall has gone on to achieve so much?
I remember Teddy Sheringham when I was at Millwall as a kid. George Graham didn't fancy him. He was sending him to all the shot and all these little teams. That's Teddy Sheringham. So, you know, it must be a good thing. One that they go and they realise, hold on, I've got to pull my socks up here. It might be the kick up the backside that they both needed. You know, they've both gone on to be tremendous players. So, it doesn't surprise me.
Do you care for Tottenham now? Is it still part of your life, obviously?
Yeah, I've got Tottenham.
What have you made of what's happened the last couple of seasons
I've got
there?
Mill tattoo, Tottenham tattoo, Liverpool tattoo. So.
No West Ham?
No, well, I've got Millwall tattoo, and that was first, so I can't... but I go West Ham as well, if you know, this local... You know, I'm in Kent, so I'm on the Stratford line, so, you know, I go to West Ham, but... They're all good. I was going for West Ham. Both Tottenham didn't want either of my teams. And Southampton as well. Didn't have a good end of the season, my team.
You didn't.
And Millwall missed out on playoffs. Yeah. Southampton got kicked out. And Tottenham West Ham was a battle for relegation. So, I'm going for West Ham, obviously I am. But, Tottenham, the way that ground. Once they got a new stadium, Jeff, you think, here they go. They should be what Arsenal are doing now.
Yeah.
You know, is it bad management, bad recruitment? I just, you know, once Harry Kane went, you thought, you know, maybe he's going to tank the season. Big Ange coming, they started well, then that dropped off. Then, you know, I just think recruitment players a bit weak. They just look weak, weak minded. Good players. We're all good players. You play in the Premier League, you're all good players when it's going well, but I think they look weak minded, weak people.
Let's take you back to your playing days, because we talked about some of the successes. Actually, when you went to West Ham, that was a proper success, wasn't it? Because you finished fifth in the table.
Fifth twice, yeah. Like the team, the team we had. So we had Junior Dixon, Stuart Pearce. We had me, Rio Ferdinand, Steve Lomas, Ingo Xhaka. Across the park, we could have shot. We had like Trevor Sinclair, Frankie Lampard, Joey Cole, Michael Carrick, Frankie Lampard, Berkovic, Mark Bimbinfoe, God bless him. Up front, Di Canio, Defoe, Ian Wright, Johnny Artson, Paul Kitson, Paolo Onechop, Freddie Canute, Johnny Moncur, amongst others. There was the squad.
I mean, what a squad that was.
Yeah. Fifth twice. And Harry. Obviously, Harry in charge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we come fifth twice. It's amazing.
What was Paolo Di Canio like?
Crazy. Crazy. He was like, he's crazier than cheese. That was the first... proper professional footballer, like the only one I've ever seen stay behind. We go, you know, over the pub or down the bookies or Romford Dogs or golf, you know, on a day we could do. And you'd see him walking out with a bag of balls and taking free kicks and things like that. And we'd say, what an idiot. Like putting spikes on and running around the track and what an idiot. But, well, he wasn't an idiot, was he? It was the right thing to do.
Yeah. He was a player, wasn't he?
Wow, what a player. Mad as a boxer frog. Honestly, to play, what a player. I used to play against him, and I'd say we used to wind him up, so he didn't really... See, I don't think you really tell how good players are till you see him training every day. Him in training, mate. Fitness, you know, he used to eat the right, didn't drink. We took him out, we got him in Guinness once. He was sick for about 4 days after. But he used to eat the right stuff, and, you know, it's a first sort of... This is 98, you know, not that long ago, really. And that's the first time I see a professional footballer, or the future of professional footballers, you know. Yeah. It was amazing.
I know you're not a big fan of the modern game, but are there any players in the modern game that you really like?
I like Cole Palmer, you know, I like, you know, he's lost it, you know, even Foden, people like, I like players. Through, even as I'm a defender, I still like, you know, I'm still a football fan. I don't just look at big centre-halves, the centre-halves are playing. I look to flair players and goal scorers, you know, all the Man City players I love. And, you know, I love Salah, you know. He's going. I was a big Van Dijk fan, but he's lost it, you know. Diaz, I love Diaz at Liverpool. He went, was devastated.
he's gone. So I still look for flair players, but I say my heart's not really in it now, and you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of gotten involved with Enfield, haven't you? It's you know, back much more at grassroots level.
Enfield, my mate owns Enfield, Lee owns Enfield, yeah. But I live in Kent, so I'm ambassador at Ashford United, the Nuts and Bolts, they're called, the Nuts and Bolts. See, I've got my own parking space, not that you need one there, because you can park anywhere, it doesn't get that busy. The only time I went there, the other time, when someone parked in my space. There's all this space, and someone nicked my space. But I love grassroots football. As I say, referees let them go. Let it go. Referees let it go. And tackles and proper game of football. So, I much prefer grassroots football now.
You've been busy ever since your footballing days. We mentioned the after dinner stuff. Been loads of TV. Yeah. I'm a celebrity. Yeah. You know, I still wanted to ask you. The year you were, I think Kerry Katona won it. You were the bookies' favourite. And I looked at some of the people who were in there with you, you know, Johnny Lydon from the Sex Pistols. Johnny Rotten was,
Jordan,
as he was then.
Katie Price,
Lord Alex, Brockett, Alex Lord Best, Brockett. Lord Brockett. How did you not win?
Well, as I said, I wasn't, you know, you had Kerry, Kerry was getting on with Jordan. Everyone was in great, you know, Jordan and Peter Andre. And
yeah.
Lord Brockett was arguing with Jenny Bond, I think it was. I can't remember who it was. So there was, everyone was all in a sort of relationship or argument. And then I was just Mr. Nice Guy, and, you know, and it's not good TV. So I just think they show me sleeping all the time. And that's my excuse anyway, mate. But I think you know how telly works. It's very, very good editing, but. I was happy. Kerry McFadden, happy she won, because she was going for a bad time at that time, and it relaunched her career, and my career was going all right anyway, so it was good. But Big Brother was good. Ryland won it. That was Big Brother's easy. Because the Jungle's no cheating, Jeff. By the way, you think the Jungle's cheating? You don't get food. You don't get, you know, cameras off. You get a bit of a pizza. It is tough. And in the Jungle, the noises you hear in the Jungle, wow.
You've had some life, mate, haven't
you? I've been great, mate. Honestly.
You got any regrets at all?
I regret. Someone told me, I regret all the good things I'd done in my life. I regret I should have done them more. That's what you should get. Don't regret anything. Regret the good things you've done and do them more.
Brilliant.
Just don't drink too much. Is that it, mate?
Yeah, I've loved the company, Razor. Neil, shouldn't I? I'll be immersed. I'll be the fourth one, yeah. So. And that's it from this episode of the Jeff Stelling Show. Join us again next time if you possibly can.